I like Sunday mornings, amen. Get to come down to the church house. I like coming down to the church house. I like doing a lot of things, but few things I like better than coming down to the church house. Seeing my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, hearing some preaching and just getting strengthened and what we need to go on for the rest of this week for the Lord. So we out in this old world, and it's a wicked world, and it hates God. And if you love God, it hates you. But I don't mean we can't go out and be a witness and be a testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's good to see everyone. Thank you for the prayers for the group that went to Alabama. Everybody is home safely from our church. Thank the Lord. And the pastor's still down there, so remember him. And they'll be coming home, I guess, in the morning maybe. But as they travel, continue to remember that they have grace upon them, and God will get them safely home. So, Galatians chapter 3 this morning. Galatians chapter 3. We'll talk about Abraham a little bit this morning. Galatians chapter 3, one verse. Galatians 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." We're going to talk a few minutes this morning about the gospel unto Abraham. Brother Tim Sellers, would you pray for us, brother? Gospel unto Abraham. Verse 7 says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So we in the church age that have believed on Jesus Christ and were saved by faith, the Bible says we are the children of Abraham. Not physical seed. We talked about that, right? The physical seed of Abraham are the Jews, and God made them a promise in Genesis 12 for a land. That land Israel is theirs. God gave it to them. But he also gave them a spiritual promise in Genesis 18. He said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Amen. And that seed we know is Jesus Christ. And so we that have believed, have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, are the spiritual children of Abraham. You ever think, why Abraham? Why not David? He was a man of faith. David was a man of faith. He believed God, and he was running from Saul and in the wilderness and chased and had so many things happen in his life. He was a man of faith. Why not David? Why not Elijah? That's the miracle man, right? Why not Elijah? He had twice as many miracles. He had a double portion of the spirit that Elijah had. God gave. Why not him? Why Abraham? Well, hopefully this morning we're going to see that it's because of what Abraham believed, not just the fact that he believed. And the Bible says the devils in hell believe and tremble. Amen. Ain't no saved devils, right? A lot of people in this old world believe things. They believe in God. Oh, I believe in God. You talk to them about Jesus Christ and they get angry. They believe in things, but it's what you believe as to whether or not you're saved. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you're saved by. If you're sitting here this morning, it's because you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. If you don't believe that, you are not saved. That's just what the Bible says. That's the gospel. And Paul said here in Galatians chapter 1, "If any man preach any other gospel than that for him to be accursed." Amen. That's this dispensation. But we know there are other gospels. The angel's going to come in the book of Revelation, end times, and preach an everlasting gospel. He's not accursed. The Bible says that the Scripture before preached the gospel unto Abraham. And it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know the Scripture is not accursed. Amen. So what gospel was preached unto Abraham that you and I might be the spiritual seed, the spiritual children of Abraham? What did he believe in the gospel? The gospel unto Abraham, we'll see, was a type, a foreshadowing of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the story of Abraham and Isaac is the greatest type of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The greatest, hands down. There are others, but this one is so plain and so clear that even a child could see it. Amen? You know, you cannot be saved by types. A type's not the real thing. A type is a picture or something pointing to a future event. For our learning is what it's for. You cannot be saved by the gospel of Abraham.
Amen.
Man, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the story. I'm thankful for Isaac and Lord staying his hand in the ram. I'm thankful for all that. But if you believe that for your salvation, you cannot be saved that way. You must receive Jesus Christ, not Isaac.
Amen.
To as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not Isaac, Jesus. But we need to know this story and know what it is, because it's a great type thousands of years before Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 8 is where we're going to start. John chapter number 8 and verse number 56. This is Jesus in the temple. He's talking with all these Jewish people and they are saying they know God, but they're denying him. Sounds like this old world, don't it? But we think something new, don't we? At least something we think, man, that's something new. And it's just the same old thing in different clothes is what it is. People saying in this world they know God, but they deny Jesus Christ, won't receive him. Look at John 8 and verse 56. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. And was glad. Well, how'd that take place? Abraham lived thousands of years before Jesus Christ. But yet Jesus said that he rejoiced to see my day and he saw it. How'd that take place? That's strange, isn't it? That's why we study the Bible from end to amen, right? There may be an answer in another place. And if you only read certain places, you might not have the answer. Only choice you got then is to come up with your own answer. And that's what people's doing, right? Coming up with their own answer. But the Bible tells us when Abraham saw Jesus' day. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And look at verse number 17. This is the hall of faith, right? Faithful Old Testament saints. Hebrews chapter 11, when did Abraham see Jesus' day? Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 17. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. That sounds familiar, don't it? Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. You know when he saw Jesus Christ day? When he offered up his only begotten son. Now he had another son, but he wasn't the seed of promise, right? God's got many sons. If you're saved here this morning, you're a son of God, ma'am. But he only had one only begotten son, right? That's what separates Jesus Christ from the other sons. When Abraham offered up his son Isaac, he saw Jesus' day. He was sacrificing his only begotten son.
begotten Son, and the Bible says have counted that God was able to raise him from the dead. That's the death and resurrection, isn't it? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? That he died according to the Scriptures and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, we know Abraham offered his son Isaac, but he didn't have to sacrifice him. But in Abraham's mind, Isaac was dead. God told him, he said, leave and go to a place I'll show you and offer up your only begotten son. He took off, and how many days did he travel? He traveled 3 days, didn't he? Jesus Christ said he'd be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. For 3 days in the mind of Abraham, Isaac was as dead as a person can get. He knew he was going to have to sacrifice him. In his mind, he was dead. He got to the mount. He began to sacrifice his son. God stopped him, and he got him back alive. When did Abraham see Jesus' day? When he offered up his only begotten son. Turn back to Galatians 3 with me. Let's look at another verse. Galatians chapter 3. The gospel unto Abraham. The gospel unto Abraham. Bible says that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. Gospel unto Abraham. Look at Galatians 3. Did I say Genesis? Galatians. Galatians 3 and verse number 6. Bible says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed God about something, didn't he? Yeah. God told him something, and Abraham believed God about that thing, and God counted it to him for righteousness. That's faith, isn't it? We said that he saw Jesus' day in his son, Isaac, dead in his mind for 3 days. Offered up his only begotten son, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. What did he believe? What did he believe that was so important to God that God counted his faith for righteousness? Turn to Romans chapter 4. Let's look at it again. Romans chapter 4. Flipping through some scripture this morning. Romans chapter 4. And look at verse number 3. Here it says again, the Bible says, for what saith the Scriptures? That's what counts, right? What saith the Scriptures? The Bible says, for what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Same thing, right? Abraham believed God about something that's counted to him for righteousness, and the Scriptures tell us that. So what did he believe that was so important to God? According to the Bible, he believed in a miraculous birth of a chosen seed. That might not be the first thing we thought, would it? Surely we would have thought he believed that. It said he accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead. But according to the Bible, that's not what he believed. He believed in a miraculous birth of a chosen seed. And I'll show you where the Bible says that. Turn to Genesis chapter 15. All the way to the beginning. Genesis chapter 15. Here we have Abram. He's an old man. Even by those standards, he was getting up in age. Look at Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So here's God spoke to Abram and said, fear not, I'm your reward. And Abram's got a complaint. Look at verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus.
And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." So here he was, had a complaint to God. God said, "I'm your reward." And Abram said, "Well, God, I don't have a seed. I don't have anyone to carry on. I have no heir." Look what God said in verse 4. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." He took him out. He said, "That's not going to be your heir." Said, "You're going to have an heir out of your own bowels." He took him out and he showed him the stars, I suppose, on a clear night. You know how you look at the stars at night and they just look so far away and some of them are small. And when you focus in on these small stars, you know what you see? You see more stars beyond them, don't you? He showed him that and he said, "As the stars, so shall thy seed be." And look at verse 6. "And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness." He believed that he was going to have an heir. God was going to give him an heir. And he was going to make a great nations were going to be blessed from this seed. He believed that. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Well, what's the big deal about that? Most of us have children, right? Most of us have an old heir in the quiver. Some of us got a quiver full of heirs, amen? Thank God for children. So what's the big deal about believing God that you're going to have an heir? Why does that take so much faith? Father of the faith, right? Turn back to Romans chapter 4, and we'll see why that took so much faith and why God counted it to Abraham, imputed to him for righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 4. Let's start at verse number 17. Romans 4 and 17, the Bible says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Man, I thank God for that. Thank God that he'll call some things that are not as though they were, amen. He should have killed me 10,000 times before I got saved. Amen. And you too. Look at verse 18. "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." It's coming clear now, right? Why did it take so much faith to believe God that he was going to have an heir? And that heir was going to be the father that was going to bless so many nations. Why does that take so much faith? Because the man was 100 years old, amen. 100 year old. Have a child with a 90-year-old wife. You know what you got on your hands? A full-blown miracle, right? You got a full-blown, full-fledged, 100% miracle. And if you are fool enough to believe that God can do something like that for you, he'll count it for righteousness for you, amen? If you fool enough to believe that some man hung on a cross and paid your sin debt, and that's the only way you get to heaven, you know what God will do? He'll count that to righteousness for you, amen. He'll save your soul. Look what it says in verse 20. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief." I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm 99 and God comes to me and says, "You're going to have a child," I'm staggering. I'm straight up staggering. I'm going down to my knees. I'm at the altar. I need help. It said he staggered not. You say, well, he was in better shape than you are. He wasn't in that good of shape, amen. He was a 100-year-old man. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. and being fully persuaded. He wasn't, well, I guess God can. Well, he's God. He can do if he wants to. That's not what it says. Verse 21 said, and being fully persuaded. There was no doubt in his mind that God can do what he said. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Why is it such a big deal that Abraham believed God? Because it was a miraculous birth. There's no way a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man are going to have a baby. Ain't going to happen. He believed in a miraculous birth of his heir that was going to bless many nations. God himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. That's a miraculous birth, isn't it? You know what the gospel to Abraham is? It's a type, it's a foreshadow of the birth and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why Abraham and not David. That's why Abraham and not Elijah. That's why Abraham and not one of the great prophets. That's why Abraham and not Moses. Because he believed God in the miraculous birth and death and resurrection of his son. That's when he saw his day. Now turn with me back to Genesis 22. And let's look at the actual story in your Bible where this takes place. By the way, this is the first place in your Bible where the word worship is mentioned. We had a man in here preaching one time. I believe it was the man that sang all them songs. He's dead now. Kind of funny songs, but there was a lot of truth in them. Sanctuary was turned around the other way, and I believe it was him taught this. And first place in your Bible where the word worship is mentioned. And he said that worship is adoration to the point of a surrendered will. Well, if you ever get your will surrendered to God against some things that you may believe is best or may want to happen, you can worship the Lord. Amen. But look what it says. Genesis 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram and said unto him, Abram, and he said, behold, here am I. Well, you got to be careful answering the Lord, ain't you? He liable to ask you to get up on the pulpit and preach. He liable to ask you to teach a Sunday school with little children in it, hanging off you like Christmas balls on a Christmas tree, amen. But you better be careful. He liable to send you to Sri Lanka. I don't even know where that is. He knows. He'll show you. Look what it says. He said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, thine only son. He had another son in the flesh, didn't he? He wasn't the seed of promise. And we're going to talk about that in Galatians chapter 4. He says, take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. A burnt offering. You know what burnt offerings don't do? Burnt offerings don't make it out alive, amen. Burnt offerings never make it out alive. You know why? Because they're burnt. You have to kill them and put them on some wood and some fire and burn them, amen. And God told Abram, he said, take thine only son and offer him up. Now this is the son that he had promised, the promised heir. The miraculous birth. What? I got to wait 100 years for a son and now I got to kill him? Miraculous birth. All the nations are going to be blessed in this seed and now I got to kill him? The way I read it, he didn't even mix words with him. The Bible says that Abraham arose up early in the morning. He didn't pray about it. He didn't seek godly counsel. You know how we pray sometimes because we just don't want to do something right. Didn't do none of that. Rose up early in the morning, got an early start. The Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. You know what he didn't do? He didn't get to the place and hope there was some wood there, did he? You know what I'd have done? I wouldn't have took that wood and got there. I said, well, Lord, I'm sorry. I showed up, but there ain't no wood for a burnt offering. Maybe next time. So what Abraham did, is it? Abraham clave the wood before he left and hauled it 3 days with him to make sure when he got to that place, he was going to be able to do exactly what God told him to do about his son. Wonder why he's the father of the faith. That's a faithful man. I'm sure he loved his wife. I'm sure he loved Isaac. But he ain't loved nobody more than he loved his God. Amen. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, traveled 3 days. Man, can you imagine that? Traveling 3 days with your only begotten son. Can you imagine the thoughts popping through his mind? Well, it said that he counted that God was able to raise him up from the dead. That's the only thing he could come up with. The only thing he could come up with was, after I kill him, God said, made me a promise that he don't have any choice but to raise him up from the dead. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. In his mind, Isaac was dead for 3 days. And so we know he's headed up the mountain, and Isaac is carrying the wood and asked his father, said, where's the sacrifice? And we know Abraham said, God shall provide himself a sacrifice. And we talked about that. Shall provide himself a sacrifice. And so the old man went up on the mountain, and I've heard this preached too, and you have too, and I don't know. But here we got a 115-year-old man and a 15-year-old young man. The Bible says Abraham bound him up. He ain't wrestled that boy down. That boy was obedient, wasn't he? Wasn't he obedient? He had to be. There was some faith on Isaac's part too, wasn't it? I don't know how much faith there was in God, but there was some faith in his father. Amen. Look at verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Where's the lamb in all this? The lamb's yet to come, isn't it? This is a type, isn't it? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built there an altar and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that he offered up his son. Well, no doubt in his mind he was about to do. And I don't believe he got there and held out and waited. I believe when the angel of the Lord speaks, he got to speak quick. I believe he was just going to get it done, man.
Amen.
Because God told him to. Look at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. That's substitutionary atonement. Something took Isaac's place, didn't it? Something took our place, and it was the lamb. You know, Abraham offered up his son, but he didn't have to sacrifice him. God stayed his hand. You know what God didn't do when he offered up his only begotten son? He didn't stay his hand. He didn't stay his hand not one bit. That son was whipped. That son was scourged. That son was spit on. That son was nailed to a cross. A spear was stuck in his side. The blood and the water gushed out. And that son died for mine and your sins. We're not saved by a type. Thank God for a type. We're saved by the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Isaac was resurrected to Abraham, wasn't he? In his mind, he was dead. In his mind, he was dead. It was a done deal. He went there, he bound that boy and put him on that altar, and he took that knife back. And in his mind, he was dead as anybody could be. And God stayed his hand. And that ram was there, and he came off that mountain with his son. The son that in his mind was dead, he went off the mountain with him alive. Amen. And it all started because he believed God about a miraculous birth of a son. Chosen a seed that all the nations in the earth were going to be blessed in. He believed God. You know how we're saved today? By believing God about his son. What is the gospel unto Abraham? He believed God about his son. Why is God the father of faith? Because you and I are saved by grace through faith, believing in the only begotten Son Amen. Of Jesus Christ. You know what you do if you mix your works and your salvation on what these Galatian people are trying to do? You just destroy all that. You just tear it up and cut it up. You just take that page that Genesis 22 is on, if you believe that, and rip that out of your Bible and throw it away because you don't need it no more. If you believe that somehow your works save you or your works keep you saved, it's all by the grace of God through faith in the only begotten Son of God. That's why Abraham is the father of faith. That's why half the book of Romans is about Abraham. That's why half the book of Galatians is about Abraham. That's why we're studying the book of Galatians and we're in the book of Romans all the time. Book of Romans teaches salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The book of Galatians teaches that you are kept by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Or companion books. So what do we tell people? We tell them, you better do better. You tell somebody to do better. I mean, it might help you, right? But we tell people that you better believe in Jesus Christ, don't we? We tell people that if you'll place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that you shall be saved. Then we tell them he was born of a virgin. He hung on a cross. He shed his blood. He gave his life. He was buried, and God raised him the third day. You know how simple it is? A child can do that. It's so simple that a child can do. You ever heard a child witness to another child? I have. Boy, they like me and you. I'm liable to jump off on some kind of tangent. Me and Dawn was talking the other day. I said something about a Christophany. That's a big word, isn't it? When the angel Lord appears in the Old Testament, that's Christ. Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and the word for it is a Christophany. And I stopped and I thought, boy, that's a big word. Where'd that come from? We liable to pop off with something like that. Do you know what a child will tell a child? If you believe on Jesus, he'll save you. Amen. He hung on that cross and he died, and then God raised him from the dead. You know how simple the gospel is? Just that simple. Boy, don't we make things complicated. Don't we as adults, with all our knowledge, make things complicated when the gospel of Jesus Christ is as simple as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved, because he's the Savior of the world. What is the gospel unto Abraham? He believed God about his son. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Believing God about his son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your blessings. And we thank you, Lord, for these Old Testament stories and camps that we have that increase our faith, Lord, the types and the shadows. And Lord, we ask that you touch us and help us, Lord, but to be faithful servants and be a faithful witness in this old world, Lord. Tell people that the grace of God saves souls still today. And Lord, we thank you. We ask that you go with us into the worship hour, Lord. And we pray that Maybe even this morning some souls will be saved, Lord, be born again, that they'll hear that gospel and be everlasting saved, Lord, through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll touch us here and help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.